The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Tuesday morning on the Steakhouse. Get the Odyssey app. Listen, any chance that you get, listen on the app. Always available. Fun morning shift. Liked a lot of the topics. A lot of good energy. A lot of fun. And the Queen of Atlantis Radio is here.
Hmm.
You know they have those Radio Hall of Fame awards. Have you read about that?
No, I kind of don't pay attention to that. What's the latest? What am I missing?
There's a Georgia Radio Hall of Fame.
Okay. And who's in it?
Well, there's new members this year. So, you should be in it, I was going to say.
Oh,
you're the queen of Atlanta.
No, I don't think so. No way.
No, you're the queen.
If you're not in it and the regular guys are not in it.
Burt Weiss is in it. He got in this year.
Oh, I didn't hear about
Scott
that.
Scott Howard, you know who that is?
Yes, he's in it.
Voice
okay.
of Georgia.
Okay.
Guy named David Dickey got in this year.
Oh, so, I definitely don't be, that, I don't need to be in that
so
with
I was
all them.
David Dickey, who's famous for the Lux and Bageling. What did he do to Kincaid? Chicken Caesar?
Chicken Caesar.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He runs a deal. So there's a lot. And then there, your friends from the Fish?
Taylor.
Taylor and who are the folks that were on the Fish for all those years?
God,
how do we not know? We're old.
It's
That's
old,
a hard
I'm
thing
old.
To be.
I'm tired. It's only coming off a six-day crazy.
Oh, you'd have to tell me about that.
Fish.
Taylor and, yes. I think they're in there as well. So I'm just telling you, that's a thing. Like a
Kevin and Taylor.
Kevin and Taylor, right?
Cheaper. Sorry, y'all.
So these are iconic names. Iconic names.
Who from sports talk radio is in it? Because if you're not in it, they're doing it wrong. Okay. Maybe Domino. He's been in the long game.
It would be. I'll tell you one thing.
Mike Bell has been in it longer.
Bo Bock.
There's many, many names before this one.
It would be great if Andrew Saltzman and myself could get in for starting the format in Atlanta at 790 The Zone. That would be cool as, like, you know, pioneers or bringing sports talk to town or whatever it is. But I think the term is not losing sleep would be – that would be the definition.
I honestly didn't know it was even – I didn't know it existed. I'm not even being facetious.
Well,
I didn't know it existed.
Now you just screwed us. You screwed us.
Well,
they have a beautiful building that there's $100 million to build the Georgia Radio Hall of Fame. I'm kidding.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
I think it's more like a website.
I hope they kept a receipt.
It's probably like a website. So where you must have been, you had a bunch of days off.
Yeah,
so were you
a big
in,
celebration at the lake, and then Larry and I
to
took
Macon.
It 2 days
to
know my favorite city, Macon, Savannah.
Savannah for two days.
Oh, boy, have I got a new restaurant for you. It's called The Common.
That is one of the hottest places.
Girl.
Right?
Girl. It was outstanding, this
Just
new
in general,
restaurant.
Though, I'm talking about Savannah in general, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, great restaurants, but this new one is
okay.
The bomb. So just it is, it's
that.
A great time.
Did you guys have a concert there?
No, we just went, a couple of getaways,
you know,
stay on the river.
It's amazing when you don't have kids and you're a fun, you know, recently married couple with real cash in your pocket and all the things you guys can do together.
I don't know how you feel about this, but, I mean, a lot of sad things have happened over the last few years.
Yeah.
And now it's like, do it now. Spend the money. Go on the trips.
What do they
buy
say?
Buy the car and the shoes
get
and
the ice
eat
cream.
The dessert.
I'll get the, eat
yeah.
the dessert.
Well, yeah. I'll tell so you. That's how we're living our life right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
So are you.
Not really.
I think so.
I'm living a great life.
I don't
life.
Mean that mean. That's what I meant. Like, you got to enjoy what
no,
life
I
has given
it,
you.
No, I enjoy it, but I mean, there's, you know, when you got still three kids at ages that you have them, no, I mean, that's...
Do you have to keep those kids forever? I mean, this has been a long time.
I know.
My
it's
gosh.
Like at some point.
No, how is Boston and your birthday's coming?
Hold on, hold on. I was going to tell you something. So you were just talking about...
Savannah. Live your best life. Eat the dessert.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, thank you. eat the dessert, which is all that means is Anthony Bourdain's like, have the bourbon, eat the cake, do whatever, enjoy your life. One of the great writers and one of the great motivational speakers in America is co-hosting with us for 2 hours on Friday. He's an Atlanta guy, John Gordon, who's written countless books, super close to a lot of professional teams. This is the guy that they bring in that sits down, started really with the Falcons and Mike Smith, Sean McVay, countless other teams. He's sitting in with us for 2 hours on Friday. One of his most famous books is The Energy Bus, mm-hmm. right? So he's going to be awesome. If you want to be motivated, inspired, hear a fascinating story, just a great dude, very hard to get. We didn't want him over the phone. He's coming in for 2 hours on Friday.
We've been working on this a long time, and he is great. He has a new book, Seven Commitments of a Great Team. And when I tell you, he's likely already seen every college football team in the country with this book. I've read it. It's excellent.
Yeah.
And if you have a company, it's not just an athletic team. It is a team in general, and you talk about your teammates and your coworkers and what works and doesn't. He was famous for the energy vampire in the room, which came from The Energy Bus, which was his first book.
Yeah, how somebody can basically get in an organization and suck the life out of it with the way they behave mm-hmm. on a regular basis. That's called The Energy Vampire, which, by the way, you hear that term a lot. Anyways, appointment listening.
Yeah, Friday.
Friday, 9 to 11, John Gordon. A lot of folks out there probably read his books, and we're excited to have him. He's coming into town, staying right next door, and Sandra, he'll put that together. So that's appointment radio and perfect programming in the middle of summer before we get next week into all the stuff that's going to be in town. I had a great 4 or 5 days with my mom and buddies,
so
and I love July 4th in New England because it's a very patriotic place to be. And
what was the weather like?
Weather was super hot, super nice, no rain whatsoever. So when you get a July 4th weekend, when it is sunny and 90 in Boston, like when I tell you the city empties out, like beyond.
And where are they going?
So they're going to Cape Cod or Newport or Maine or New Hampshire or Connecticut. Like there's beaches, you know, you remember in the Northeast, there's beaches everywhere.
Right.
Or they're going to, you know, the Lake Winnipesaukee's of the world or the lake houses in Maine. Like nobody stays in town. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you have access to a city. And New York City is very similar, but it's just so big. But New York City is the same way. In the Northeast, when you have a chance to get out of town, that's what they do because the
summer. Go to water.
Yeah, because the summers are so short.
Sure. Okay.
You know, the summers are so short that they're like the last place they want to be. They get depressed if they haven't gone away for the weekend. Anyway, so we had a great time. But we got a lot to get to this morning, including the quarterback show with Kirk Cousins came out. Every episode has been released. Abe Gordon, God bless him, he woke up at 2 a.m. and watched the entire series. That's like 8 episodes or something. I don't know. But there's a lot of Kirk Cousins stuff we'll get to later in the show as well. And obviously, I haven't seen you since the Braves absolutely collapsed since we last saw each other. Could not have gone worse. I saw you on Tuesday. I don't know if they won a game since. I think they won one. Talked to Bo about what the ballpark was like and the All-Star game coming in. So let's do a 9 at 9.
Braves are in Sacramento now for the next three. They'll play the A's. 10:05 first pitch. Raise your hand if you're going to stay up and watch that. Bo.
For real.
Wow. Well,
you just what? So you'll stay up till what time is first pitch?
10:05. About 1 o'clock is when it'll be done, hopefully.
Wow, that is.
If it's a quickie, it'll be 12:30, which
that's
is not normal.
It's not going to be 12. It's 10:05, right? So because what, you just don't miss any Braves games?
Well, that, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's impressive.
Didier Fuentes is going tonight. You got Bryce Elder going tomorrow. Strider will go on Thursday.
Yeah,
the A's.
The A's are not as bad as last year.
37-55. First of all, Braves have no reason to call anybody bad. How about that? Because you're bad. You're a bad team, Braves. 37-55. In the AL West, they're 19 games back of.
No, I mean they're a bad team, but they're, you know, they got a lot of young players. They have a plan in place. You know, it's kind of like the White Sox last year were horrible, but they're not as horrible. The team that is setting records for futility this year is the Colorado, right? That's the worst team in baseball. White Sox bad, A's bad. Pirates bad, Braves bad. I mean, there are some bad teams right now around baseball.
And I will tell you, that park that they are in, they're playing in the Sacramento AAA park. That thing is beautiful, you guys.
Really?
Seats about 12,000 folks.
Wow.
It's in 180 degrees away from Oakland. That awful place where that stadium was the worst thing I've ever been to in my life. So the ambiance is likely better. So listen. God bless. They'll go to Oakland, they'll go to St. Louis, and then it's the All-Star break.
Yeah, then we get Ron Acuña in Home Run Derby Monday night, so be excited about that.
So there's that. Exactly right. All right, Atlanta Dream last night, a nice win for them, 90-81. They beat Golden State. Ryan Howard with 15, Alicia Gray with 24. They are at the Fever. They're at Caitlin Clark's house on Friday night. I will tell you, Wimbledon, Taylor Fritz, and Corinne Khachanov, I don't know if I'm saying that right. They are Taylor Fritz won the first set 6-3. It's 3-3 tied in the second set. Steak, if we can get that on the
it's
TV,
been
likely.
A very compelling Wimbledon, especially to watch American players, the American men. If you get Taylor Fritz and Ben Shelton both alive in the quarters, man, it's pretty fun. American tennis in a great place.
Carlos Alcaraz goes at 10 a.m. We'll keep you updated on well. And because this is what we do in 15 days, ladies and gentlemen. The Atlanta Falcons and the game, your home of the Falcons, we will be reporting to Falcons training camp in exactly 15 days. So we have that to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, I like the first couple of weeks because it feels new, and then it's interminable to get to opening day in the NFL. I mean, especially after that last preseason game, only three preseason games. You play that last game, and then it's like a 13-day wait for the season. The good news is college football has started by then.
Yeah, they
college
overlap.
Football mm-hmm. will have had week zero, mm-hmm. and it had week one will already have been kicked off by the time you have the first week in the NFL, which I believe is Labor Day weekend.
Correcte mundo.
All right. That's our 9 at 9 when we come back. Listen, there is over 2 full months left in the Braves season. Do we have any shot? No.
No,
not when you have Spencer Schwellenbach, A.J. Smith, Sharver, Chris Sale, Ronaldo Lopez. No, you're not going to come back without any of them. But there's about 6 other questions to be watching for the next 2.5 months. I will review that with you. Lots more on the way. Heisman conversation. Kirk Cousins speaks in QB1 and all kinds of other fun stuff. The Queen is here. It's the fastest 2 hours in radio. It's the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. I mean, there's so much to chat about. I haven't seen Sandra in a week. And feels like folks got back to work a little bit today. Traffic certainly more than yesterday. So maybe you are back in town from your lake or beach or whatever July 4th weekend looked like. And Atlanta will ramp up a little bit over the next week or so. Beyonce rolling in town for 4 nights, right?
At
Mercedes-Benz.
Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, something like that.
Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday. Do you know where that's from, that quote?
No,
the guy quote. You know what it's from, Bo? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Thursday, Sunday, Saturday. It's from Godfather. It's from The Godfather when Al Pacino marries a girl in Sicily and she's trying to learn English. And then, oops, she gets done blown up in the car sometime later on as they track him down. I think it's in Sicily, Michael Corleone. So me and my buddies, we quote that movie. I mean, that is such – Godfather's the most quoted movie for, like, your husband and my generation,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you don't want to watch The Godfather with us because we're going to be sitting there and the annoying ones, like, spitting out the quotes before they happen. Maybe that's a good 3 strikes question. What's the most quoted movie for you and your buddies?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Old School? Is it Wedding
And you
Crashers?
Know that's a guy thing.
Is it, like there, is it Swingers?
It's strictly a guy thing. You will not find ladies sitting
around
quoting a movie. I don't think it's ever happened in my 29 years of life.
With all your girlfriends?
Never.
So when we sit there and go, you're so money, you don't even know it, you're so money, which is from Swingers and mm-hmm. Vince Vaughn, that doesn't resonate with you.
No.
Okay. So
it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday. Pardon me.
Okay, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday. Then you have the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which Sunday, I'm sorry I didn't do all the research. I think it's the Futures game on Sunday. Or is there a celebrity softball game maybe on Sunday? Then you have the is that what's going on Sunday? So are you down there Sunday night, Bo?
So it's Saturday. So the Futures game and the Legends Celebrity Softball game are both on Saturday. You can go to both events with one ticket. If I'm not mistaken, there's an In-N-Out also.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what
that's like? Come back in.
Do you know who's
on Saturday?
Do you know who's in this celebrity game? Sandra will look it up.
Like L. Duncan's there, Drewski, Quavo, Big Boy is going to make an appearance. There's quite a few influencers on this year's list of legends and celebrities
is
in this
Pookie
softball
or
game.
Jet in there?
Not that I'm aware of.
We got to look at that. Okay, so that's Saturday. You know, basically baseball goes right up until Sunday. So, you know, you got the
Sunday, there's basically private events. Then Monday is going to be Home Run Derby. Tuesday is the All-Star game. Monday and Tuesday are going to be super busy.
Yeah, it's the convention. You know, it's the Super Bowl week. It's the you know, it's kind of what NBA does with their Vegas deal now. It's kind of a way to, you know, bring in sponsors and have big parties and celebrate the game of baseball and all that. And Atlanta will be front and center. And, you know, whether there is a buzz in town, I think Sandra would say it doesn't feel like people are that hype. But again, we're used to so many huge sporting events rolling through this town. You know, I mean, you know, again, we're coming off of national title and, you know, playoff games in college football and SEC. Think of what we just had. SEC title, playoff game, and national title.
Yeah, we're so spoiled. All in 1 year. It's so true.
Right? Super Bowl's
and the Braves are brutal. That's what it is. I mean, you turn sour on baseball real quick. You're just sad.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
Javi Lopez is playing the celebrity game? Yes, please. Now I'm interested.
Yeah, because you think he's the most handsome, is
that
what you've always said?
Yeah. Right? This is an impressive list. Maria Taylor and L. Duncan are in it. Jermaine Dupri.
Have you seen the promos with
Terrell Owens?
Have you seen Jermaine Dupri and Ludacris in the promos for Atlanta? Welcome to Atlanta.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. All right. Those are running quite a bit now around Major League Baseball, and they're running promos for it.
Well, that'll be fun.
Good. Anybody else? So, of note, playing on Saturday. I guess you'll
Candy Burris. There is a lot of social media young people that I don't
give me
know.
Some names.
Jenny Finch.
Well, Jenny Finch, you know, that's
I know,
a softball player.
Jake Storial, who founded Talkin' Baseball with John Boy Media, founded that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give me the ones you don't know.
See, Drewski.
Okay.
Comedian and actor. CeCe Sabathia, who weighs about 9 pounds now. He looks incredible.
Yeah.
Capital One Bank guy.
Okay.
In the commercials, so.
All right. So that's going to be on Saturday. Listen, I do think.
I like the one ticket. I like that you can walk around the battery. Well said. So Saturday. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you can't start charging people a ton of money and tell them they can't go in the game back and then all that. I mean, it's just it's just a celebration of baseball. So look at it as a celebration of Truist Park. And Sandra and I were there, I would say, is it 12 years ago? You, me, Rob Manfred. At a tent
in the dirt.
That was in dirt. I don't know if you know this, Bo. Like when they were literally broke ground. They didn't. I don't know if you broke ground. We were sitting in a tent, and there was nothing but dirt underneath us. And they're like, "There will be a baseball stadium here in like 3 years." And Rob Manfred flew in, and we sat and did that interview. I don't know how many years.
September 16th of 2014.
Is when we did the interview.
It said broke ground. That was the official ceremony. That's where we were. It was SunTrust Park.
So 11 years ago, we sat there and interviewed and wondered what Cobb County could pull off.
The best kept secret ever. That nobody broke that story. If y'all can remember, they thought they kept that under wraps.
John Schuerholz.
That's right.
Had a press conference, I think in front of the Hank Aaron statue at Turner Field. Nobody knew what he was walking out there for. And he announced that the Atlanta Braves would be leaving downtown Atlanta and be moving to Cobb County on a clandestine deal that was put together because Cobb County said, absolutely. If you remember, the Falcons got a bunch of benefits in a deal they did with Kasim Reed to build out Mercedes-Benz. The Braves said, where is our tax breaks? Where is the money invested in upgrading our situation? They felt like they were being ignored. and they just said, we're going to go cut a better deal for ourselves. It put Kasim Reed and the Braves at odds for years. Rumors that Kasim Reed never wanted to help the traffic situation in the last 3 or 4 years at Turner Field because he was vindictive against what was happening and the fact that they were leaving Atlanta. A really uncomfortable few years.
It got very personal.
Yeah,
it
got very personal.
Very personal behind the scenes.
But now you look at a celebration of one of the most unique sporting venues in the world, which is and also one of the unique business partnerships, which not only with Cobb County, but at the Braves got in the real estate business, right, which we keep hearing about. Good for them. Sometimes even at the behest of wanting to hear more about baseball, hear about real estate deals. But it set in place a brand new part of our city that nobody could have imagined the level of success that the Battery has had. In addition, the Braves have the third longest stretch of going to the postseason of anybody in baseball. The Dodgers, not surprisingly, are one. The Astros are two. I believe the Dodgers, I don't have the exact numbers, someone like 12. Astros are 8 years in a row. We are 7 straight years in the postseason. It's not going to happen this year. So it can be a celebration of this organization, of the joy and the excitement they brought, the World Series championship they brought to that park, the World Series parade that ended up at Truist not so many years ago. But if you're talking about this season, you're talking about the wheels coming off. And the wheels officially came off over the last 2 weeks, particularly with the 2-7 homestand and getting beat by the Orioles the way that you did, and the announcement about Chris Sale going to be out much longer than we thought. And then, of course, Schwellenbach's situation with the elbow as well. So there's only so much that you can overcome. You can overcome losing Ronald Acuna when you have, you know, enough guys left, and then you hit lightning in a bottle when you go get guys like Jock Peterson and company that got hot in September and into October. But, I mean, there is a point of no return, and the point of no return has happened, and now you are just basically trying to figure out what the next 2.5 months as a Braves fan is going to look like. And you're going to see Drake Baldwin and think about him and his future. You're going to wonder if Michael Harris will be back next year. You're going to wonder if Marcelo Zuna will be back next year. You're going to wonder if, you know, with Chris Sale not being healthy, you can't move him. But how much do you look towards the future and replenishing some of the farm system? How much are you sellers, which I imagine you might be, over the trade deadline? And how much can Braves fans just take a deep breath and say, it is what it is. This is what they deal with in a lot of cities for a lot of years, and we're just not used to it. Brings us back to the days of our third base coach, Freddie Gonzalez, when we were really bad.
Yeah, exactly right. You've lost 9 of 11, and during that stretch, 7 of those games, you've scored 2 or fewer runs. I mean, the numbers, there's not a single number for the Braves that leads you to believe that anything's going to change. I listened to you and Drew yesterday. I thought you said it perfectly well. The Braves have shown you who they are.
Yeah,
and pretty much. By the way, the 0-7 wasn't some sort of mask of, wow, that was trouble.
Yeah, good point.
So,
it didn't.
I think now the second half starts to look like.
Yeah.
Michael Harris, and it brought me back to, do you remember when Jeff Francoeur came out, was on the cover of SI? So we're looking at Michael Harris, former Rookie of the Year, and then Jeff Francoeur was that same guy.
Yeah, the phenom.
He got so bad that they sent him down to work on his stuff, which some will said that was the end.
Yeah, he was not happy about how that played out at all.
As he should have been. That was in 2008. But I couldn't help think, like, what do you do? Okay, you sat Harris for a couple days. You just sat Ozuna for a couple days. Ozuna is injured, the hip. My other question is, Stake, with a Chris Sale, do you even ramp him back up? And I said it with Abe when you were off last week. If it gets to be the end of August, the beginning of September, you're going to ramp him full up all the way back? I wouldn't. I would just say it's been fun.
My only thing is,
I think Alex Anthopoulos made no bones about he is signing Chris Sale.
Yeah, well,
the club option. I mean, that's a no-brainer. I heard some people saying, well, what do you do with Chris Sale? You lock him up and you put him on a shelf is what you do.
He's a professional baseball player. If he's healthy, what are you saving him for? The fear that he's going to get if he's 100% bill of health, you're a professional pitcher, go pitch. You're getting paid to pitch. I mean, like, I'm going to worry about, you know, that he's
He's banged up a lot.
I know he's and banged up a lot. End of I know the year he's injury that means prone. Nothing. And it's a good question.
If I would keep him around, let him work on his.
I'm going to argue. We're going to be one of the worst baseball teams over the next 2 months.
You are the worst. One of the worst right now.
Yeah.
You are one of the worst baseball teams.
How can it get better with this many guys out? How can it get better?
So what are you going to try to go on a win 5 of 7 because you have Chris Sale back? I don't know.
He's a professional player.
I know.
Do your job.
I know. He wants
to. Your job,
sometimes
Sandra.
You have to keep men from hurting themselves.
Yes.
We have to keep them from making bad decisions.
Yeah. Well, I'll try to keep that in mind. When we come back, why?
Why?
Why the Heisman Trophy
why?
Sleeper pick to win the Heisman, the best odds out there, is a guy you're pretty familiar with. Also getting ready for SEC Media Days. I don't know why Sandra's got herself so worked up about this. Me and Rusty in a text chain are trying to calm her down. Just can't calm this woman down. We'll explain what it was when we come back. Sports Radio 92.9. .941 Sports Radio 92.9 a game. Sandra Golden and Steak Shapiro. Coming up at 10 o'clock. The QB1 show has dropped. I'm very mixed about whether I prefer, and I ask you the question, whether I like it when a show drops all 10 episodes or when they space give 3 at a time or 1 at a time, or it's the old HBO Sunday night format where you get 1 a week, but then you're like, I can't wait another 7 days, or are you one of those people that waits till they're deeper into the series, which was kind of what happened with that John Hamm series. I didn't get on it till a little bit later. What was it called? Friends and Neighbors?
Friends and Neighbors, yeah. It's so funny because my husband and I were just talking about that he is rewatching Sopranos and watching 3 or 4 at a time, and they're upsetting in terms of, like, if you go to bed after watching that, it's much more upsetting.
Does he get upset?
And, yeah, he's like, it's bothersome. And I was saying, you know, back in the day when they would drop at 9 o'clock on a Sunday night, you only watched 1 at a time.
Yeah,
and I don't think it was so heavy.
I don't know.
Three or four hours
why is it
of that?
It's so funny. Doesn't he think it's hysterical, though, Sopranos? There's so many funny moments. Yes, I mean, it's dark as
hell.
Have
you gone to rewatch it, though? Because
yeah,
rewatch it.
Okay. I watch it every time. Here's what I like. Ask them to do this. They have on, depending what your service is, the director's cuts of every Sopranos episodes. So you can hear literally how they put together those 55 minutes, why they shot the scene, where they shot the scene, how it was relating to the storyline and all that. But I also find it the most entertaining show ever. But you were right that they would drop on Sunday night. I don't know if it was more or less disturbing. What used to disturb me on Sunday nights was I had to wait an entire week for the next episode, which was the case with, I guess, Sex and the City, which was a Sunday night show, right? And then there was Homeland on Showtime, their first foray into real episodic competing on Sunday nights. Dexter did that as well, like back in the day before streaming was all that. I mention that because Abe Gordon, who we both worked with over the last 2 weeks, who's doing a ton of filling in on the station, who is the producer of the Midday Show, Andy and Randy, he's to quote my British friends, he's proper crazy sports talk radio host, right? I mean, he is a quirky dude. And he woke up at 2 a.m. and just watched the entire season. How many episodes is that, Bo? Is it 8 episodes? So, like, Sandra reached out because we're going to play some of the Kirk Cousins cuts coming up that Bo found for us. And Sandra's like, hey, can you tell us when the stuff about being injured and not letting Michael Penix Jr. replace him and all that. And he's like, I have to go to bed. And the notion was, dude, it's 9 a.m. He said, I've been up since 2 and I watched the whole season. And we're like, oh, okay, that's dedication or crazy, right? So
he's working with Carl today. So he's working the late shift.
So he was doing a live tweeting of the season.
Uh-huh.
And I don't like that because I feel like now I'm missing out and I want to be surprised.
I know. I kind of don't want to.
When the storylines, right?
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Which is why I liked White Lotus in the sense that I was on top of it on Sunday night with everybody else. and then I'd listen to the podcast or whatever Sunday night show. It was The Last of Us or whatever that was out there. But he's like giving away the whole year. I don't want to read his tweets. So do you prefer a show that gets released once a week, or do you prefer getting the whole season at once? What do you prefer?
I prefer once a week.
Right.
Yeah.
Once a week. So... like
or two. Like if we did Your Friends and Neighbors, we'll save up two and watch. So that's 2 hours.
Like the whole year of The Bear, I think that Hulu releases that entire season, which I'm enjoying savoring, pun intended, each episode of The Bear. I think it's Jeremy Allen White and, you know.
Yes, Chef.
Yeah, it's a, just a tremendous, and it's a great plot this year that they're, you know, they have a certain amount of days, and then they're going to get shut down. The restaurant's going to close and everything else. But my point is, you know, listen, I think Abe did a great job in telling you the headlines are about Kirk Cousins. The ESPN headlines are about Kirk Cousins. The headlines in this city are about Kirk Cousins. The storyline that we talked about last year when we found out about Kirk Cousins being filmed again was, what are we going to learn, right, about the the what's the proper term? The meteoric descension of his career, the meteoric just, you know, disaster of a 6-3 team that then had the worst quarterback in football after he looked like one of the better quarterbacks
NFC
in football.
NFC Offensive Player of the Week, I believe, twice.
Right.
So
that
it
was
going to
be the storyline. It's out. We'll play you some cuts. It's not that we're not going to give it away because you're going to read it a bunch of places, but – two things. One, the question of what do you prefer? And number two is Abe Gordon is crazy. I mean, he is meshuggah is the term. It's a Yiddish term, right? You worked with him. You think he's meshuggah, right? He showed up at a UFC fight, listeners, with cottage cheese eating out of a carton. And there's a bunch of dudes drinking beer. A, he said I was getting ready for the Peachtree Road Race. And B, who brings their own cottage cheese to someone's home while there's a fight going on? Now, there's a certain level of masculinity, right, and testosterone that is taken away when you turn to your right and some dude is eating cottage cheese. Would you agree?
I did learn, though, he's got maybe a girlfriend. So that was breaking news.
Seriously?
When I worked with him on Wednesday because, first of all,
have you heard that, Bo?
Bo and I learned together.
Well, date three is going to happen.
Date three?
Yes.
All right.
We're not, quite
did he meet her,
the label.
Did he meet her in a running club? Because he's a big runner also. He just ran the Peachtree.
Well, Bo and I were telling him he was going to this wedding over the weekend. Like, he was very, very concerned about running the Peachtree and getting his bag and going to the airport. So that was a whole other little worry ward over there. Yeah. But I said, what are the bridesmaids? And he shut that down, didn't he? And so Bo and I were trying to say,
that,
like,
yes.
Like,
you know, that's like the number one hookup. The number one hookup place all time are single people at weddings.
That's what we were trying to tell.
They're almost thrown together, almost like a New Year's Eve when you look at someone and you're like, well, you know, we got no other options. Might as well just do this. Or like my final night I've told you about my trip to Cancun and spring break. Back in the day, when, let's just say, I was not looking my physical peak performance, and I was in a club in Cancun, and you're on spring break in college, and at one point, you know, I was no prize, and there was a rather large woman that was also there, and the club was getting ready to close, and we're just like, well, I mean, it looks like
it was meant to be.
Yeah, right.
This was meant to be.
It does not
Let's
look
go
like
to Waffle House.
We are running out of options here, so we
it's
might
like
as well.
Musical chairs. They take a chair away, and if you're out, you gotta go.
Right. That was
like, let's go.
We had no options left. So, so I would argue it's almost like that at weddings. But he brushed that off.
Then we also learned that there is a date three coming, and that she might have been listening. So I like what he was trying to angle it. Yeah, he got so he turned 8 shades of red.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. And she's not much of a sports fan either. So if he is getting her to tune in and listen, that means that there could be something there. You
okay.
Know,
yeah, no, I'm happy for him. Do you know that these dating sites are plummeting right now?
Mm-hmm.
30% of the entire staff of Bumble has been let go. So they're much more into, these running clubs are where you meet people,
which
right?
Which is, he was telling me that the Atlanta Track Club is the largest one in the country.
Yeah, it must be. So, like, you move to a city, you want to meet people, even if you run just
common
a little
interest
bit.
In these pickleball clubs.
Right,
and, pickleball. Oh, by the way, face-to-face. Isn't that interesting?
Right.
Wow, you have to speak to one another.
No, that Woo-hoo! Is becoming, and there's so much lying, and there's so much, there's
catfishing.
Yeah. But there's so much bitterness towards these apps, and they are shutting down. And then the sober curious stuff, which is a big thing now. And like, anyways, not that any of our audience, not that we don't have a bunch of 20-year-olds listening. Hey,
you never know.
Right.
There are things out there for you single people. Atlanta Sport and Social.
They have
soccer, volleyball, softball. You can just go sign up and go play with a bunch of strangers.
Yes.
And you get to meet people.
I know.
Instead of being
face
on your
to face.
Phone the entire. Yes.
A lot of these apartment complexes, I used to live in them. The social hours Sport and the stuff to get to
Atlanta
meet
Sports
you.
And Social has done a job. The kickball, you know the co-ed kickball? That has been around forever.
They do that too. Yeah. They do it down at Piedmont. I've played softball with Atlanta Sport and Social down here at Piedmont Park. There's no fences. Bases were marked off. Like, just a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah.
And just right.
I like the notion of let me actually try to meet somebody in person. I actually can see what they look like and if they can put together two sentences. And there's a novel idea. So anyways, that's our little rant. Now let's do our tailgate.
Shout out to Rusty Mansell, who's listening right now live from his deck in Panama City Beach. He's sending me pictures.
He looks like he's having a lovely
time. He's got that
time.
Phil Steele library. You got the Bible out, Phil Steele,
well,
by the way.
He is the Bible. He is the Bible.
So good. So funny. So anyway, I was texting with you guys talking about SEC Media Days, and I said, are they bringing Gunnar Stockton? Is Kirby bringing Gunnar? Which, by the way, they have not announced who they're bringing. And Rusty is leaning on the side of no.
Yeah, they're nobody. Not going to bring him. He's not a veteran player. It's usually a reward for guys older in their career. They don't want him saying anything dumb, and they trust older players to do that. Last year, they had a great group. Malachi Starks, Mikael Williams, and Carson Beck. What do they have in common? All of them would have been in the NFL this year, except Carson Beck decides to go back to Miami. So they like older players. They like players they can trust to say the right
fine.
Thing.
I think they
like,
should
what
be
are you
bringing,
getting worked up for?
Because your starting quarterback, if he's not a leader of men, if he can't hold, he's not being held up, sometimes you have to like elevate them to, okay, you're going to represent us. And maybe that he is. But I would like to hear from Gunnar Stockton at the SEC Media Days. Arch Manning's going.
Well, Arch Manning is maybe more polished. He's also been there. I guess they've been there the same.
Gunner's. I don't know. I mean, I'm not getting worked up.
You're in this ridiculous text chain, and you're just going back and forth about who each school is bringing. I think, you know, like, I would have preferred you talked about that restaurant in Savannah that you and Larry went to instead of taking.
Listen, Rusty and I are trying to do real sports here as real journalists.
Journalists!
All right. I thought this was interesting as the Heisman odds dropped on last Thursday. And the USA Today article, the prime time Heisman Trophy sleeper candidates, you guys, number one, Carson Beck, Miami quarterback. Now, I will rewind this tape and bring us back to 2 or 3 months ago when we started talking about this, and I was like, Carson Beck against these ACC defenses, and go look at Miami's schedule. Why wouldn't you go put down money at 25-1 for him?
Yeah,
because
so
the numbers
value.
He's about to explode with down at Miami, if all goes
possible,
well.
Yeah, no, I think value-wise, Sander, you're 100% right. I mean, this thing is set up for Carson Beck to be able to put up huge numbers. And he, you know, listen, this is a popularity contest. This is Vegas. This isn't always, you know, there's a reason that there's more action on, I don't know, the Yankees and Red Sox and Cowboys at sports books than there are on other teams. It's a popularity contest sometimes.
His sleeper odds were, their odds were greater than 15-1. So that's why
totally
Carson
agree.
Beck is at top of
so
that.
He's behind DJ Lagway at Florida. He's behind Lenora Sellers at South Carolina. He's behind Drew Aller at Penn State. He's behind a lot of guys you would think that set up better. Now, Arch Manning, I would think, is not a great bet as a favorite, right? Because, like, you heard the Spurrier stuff yesterday. If he was that great, why didn't he get more?
I didn't need to hear Spurrier. All I needed to see what four of their top offensive linemen are being replaced. And those guys are playing new in front of him.
Garrett Nussmeier at LSU is number two. Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State at three. I like Kate Klubnik. Clemson is loaded at four. If I was putting action down plus 1,000, I'd put it on Klubnik.
I would put, if you gave me $1,000 and you said pick one of these, I'm putting it on Carson Beck at plus 25, right? That's pretty sick. If you're wondering, Gunnar Stockton is plus 3,500,
yeah,
which
I find
very, very interesting.
He's down on the bottom, relatively speaking. Sam Levitt of Arizona State, who a lot of folks fell in love with, he's plus 2,500. And Alabama's Ryan Williams is at plus 3,500.
Yeah, not bad.
So are you going to officially end this text chain of like...
Yeah, because listen, in the big scheme of things, I don't care.
Well,
I'm just saying that...
It seemed like you did.
Just saying, if I'm at Georgia and I'm in charge, I'm bringing Gunnar Stockton.
Right. Okay. So maybe now that we've done it on the air, we don't have to... let's find something else to talk about tonight, right?
Are you excited about being there next week? I cannot wait. I cannot wait for this. This is going to be great.
I love your enthusiasm.
So that's a no.
No, listen. I just
fine. Me and Rusty are going to work on that. You know, me and Rusty have hung out at SEC Media Days. When I tell you walking through there, it's like you at a Hawks game taking that stroll, and the presidential music plays. Rusty Mansell walks in the room, and I'm like, I'm with him, and it is down. It's going down. He is the god of all things.
Just because he'll be very well received doing a lot of radio interviews. For sure. When we come back, the moment that Kirk Cousins and the Falcons season went up in smoke, you'll hear it on the show that dropped last night. No, I did not get up at 2 and watch 7 hours of it, but Bo actually cut it up. You're going to hear Kirk Cousins.
I can't wait. I haven't heard it.
And you will have serious reaction when we come back. Sports Radio 92.9.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
So Bo Johnson says, I will stay up till 1 or after to watch this baseball team. Guy has a normal job, I wouldn't say a normal job. That's not true. He has to work in this environment. He also has his own radio show, and he also is a bartender in Truist Club. So, I mean, those are exciting jobs.
And a coach and a dad.
Yeah, he doesn't get paid for those. Sam, those aren't jobs, right? You get to do those. You don't have to do those. Remember that, all right? So how many of you will be staying up tonight with the Braves? This is what sports gambling was invented for, if you got to be up, right? I don't know, man. It's amazing how many games.
I think you have to really look at yourself in the mirror.
If you're betting on Braves
A's.
A's
and the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
If
you look in the mirror, what do you see?
July 8th.
What are you seeing?
Problems.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
No, I would agree with that. Speaking of problems, how many Falcon fans are going to have a problem with the Kirk Cousins QB1 documentary series that just dropped on Netflix last night? He's the lead story on ESPN. We aren't idiots. We said 6 months ago when we found out that he'd been filming the whole season. Why? Like, why could he just focus on coming to Atlanta and not doing another season of QB1? Why'd they choose him to do it again? But they said the headline will be, what was going on behind the scenes with Kirk Cousins? It was not a successful season, but it was a fascinating season for the world of sports talk radio as we sat here through losing to Pittsburgh, winning on Monday night in Philadelphia, almost beating Kansas City on Sunday night, getting on a run and winning a Thursday night game against Tampa. All this excitement. We sat here watching us go 6-3. I went to New Orleans. Saints had lost 7 in a row or something along those lines. And then watching QB1, this happens in New Orleans.
Got hit in the second quarter. Took a helmet kind of right into my shoulder, rib cage area.
and immediately my elbow lit up and I knew, you know, I had irritated something.
I had a shooting pain kind of right through my inside of my elbow.
My elbow got absolutely rocked by a helmet. I'm all right. Hey, I bruised my elbow pretty good, so it was gonna help me to just keep it loose throwing.
Gotcha.
So we'll just play catch every now and then.
I'm right here with you.
Is he talking to his quarterback coach there, Bo? Is that what it is? Okay. So he wasn't right, obviously. Anybody watched that game could see. The other guy who wasn't right in that game was Younghoe Koo, who was horrendous in that game, helped cost him the game against the Saints team with a new coach and that were terrible. This is episode 4. So there's a lot of great stuff probably from when they were winning early in the season. I'm sure they had the comeback against Philadelphia. He has no timeouts, goes right down the field for the Drake London touchdown, and Eagles fans were convinced that they had the wrong head coach and, you know, that this team was in disarray, and then the Eagles go on one of the great runs and win a Super Bowl and the whole deal. But that's early episode stuff. This is episode 4, and this is how episode 4, remember, these are incredibly talented producers that are trying to create storylines, and Kirk Cousins gave them one.
My shoulder started to really throb, so I knew right away, like, okay, this is a little more serious. Once I lost my shoulder and my elbow, I didn't have many more places to lean on to get the power I needed.
The clock is running. They got to be thinking touchdown here. Cousins, tight window, picked off! Tyrann Mathieu!
And the ball game is over.
You know,
he was 23 of 38, 306 yards and a pick in that game.
And that's the pick that ended the game, is that right?
That was week 10.
Yeah. I mean, again, that second quarter is when it happens. Mm-hmm. He was, I guess, better early in the game. It's not for me clear-cut how to feel about Kirk Cousins. It bothers me that cut, Sandra, because there's a fine line between playing through pain and what he said at training camp when he goes, I've won games when I was hurt, and him literally saying, I didn't have an elbow and I didn't have a shoulder, so I had nothing to rely on. Essentially saying, I should have been out of the game. And you cost him the game that started the end or the downfall for the Falcons. You would have been 7-3 if Michael Penix had come in and you could have found a way to just score. It's not like New Orleans was lighting you up. What was the final of that game? I don't even remember.
2017.
20-17. He only scored 17 points. So you didn't need a lot. And he absolutely did not put team first. When I hear that, right? Because we hear him after, he goes, I've won games when I've been injured before. It doesn't sound like he's winning any game when he's that hurt, right?
Well, he said to whatever coach, his OC, was that Zach with him or the quarterback?
That was
or
the quarterback
Tyler.
Coach.
Okay.
But he said, I'm fine in the first cut. Yeah. That second cut is him talking, yeah, not after the game. That's
that was
him
on camera.
Yeah, that's the off season or whatever, talking about it. A little different. I had nothing left. He also will say in episode 5, I made the best decision. You know, if you sit down week 10 and you take 2 or 3 weeks or more to let it heal, yes, let it heal, you may not get your job back. I remember reading Drew Brees' book back in 2010 when he first wrote it. He made the point he tried to never, ever let his backup see the field, even if it was somebody who was no threat. He just felt like you should never do that. Doug Flutie taught him that. That was something I was aware of. If you give someone else a chance, if you want to get Wally pipped, and there's Lou Gehrig, describing Penix as a possible Lou Gehrig. If you got a Lou Gehrig behind you, that can happen all the time. So, you know, I guess there's not mystery solved. Certainly was super hurt in the Saints game. How much better was he? Sandra and I were there for the absolute debacle of the Charger game, the 4 interception, the Denver debacle, the Minnesota unraveling. I mean, that 4-game losing streak that ends with a win against the Raiders, that was about the worst quarterback play I've ever watched in my life, and they finally had to bench him. So he's hurt the whole time.
So this is really, really not a good day for those four walls at Flowery Branch. Because if it's up to me and you have a heart and you're that player, who wants to get off the field? Nobody. But you have to have folks that are in charge, that have eyes, that know what's going on behind the scenes, that say he had nothing left in his arm. We had no choice. So that to me is not on Kirk Cousins. And there, I'm guessing that Raheem and Terry, maybe they did see the cuts, but you know, Kirk and company had final say on what is airing. They get final cut on what's
Kirk
airing.
Kirk Cousins gets final cut.
Final cut. The players sign something with Omaha Productions that says, I get to have final say.
Well, okay. I mean, listen.
All three of those quarterbacks did. Okay, Jared and Joe.
There's no way to do that show and have him edit what happened, because that's the entire story, is what happened to your career, what happened to your season, how did this happen? That's the story. And that's why it's a lead on ESPN, because it's the most compelling part. They're not. The show's out. There's no Jared Goff headline anywhere.
So those, when he sits in a closet and talks to the camera, those are done post production. Those are done after they get all
the footage.
I don't know
if it's the end of the year or during the season.
Yeah. Those little testimonials or whatever they're called. But the headline being, he felt blindsided by the pick.
Yes,
that's the headline.
He also says that. He goes, I would have changed my free agency plans. They said they may take a quarterback, but I never thought they'd take him that high. Listen,
He said he gets a call while the Falcons are still on the clock from Zach Robinson telling him that they're taking Penix.
Okay. I mean, you know what can solve a lot of hurt feelings? $160 million. That solves hurt feelings. Like, this is what we're paying you. Go earn your paycheck. You're privileged to be in this situation. Don't let Michael Penix get the start. It's not a quarterback competition. You have the job. Keep the job. Okay. Keep the job. So, listen, I really been saying for a long time, I don't necessarily blame Kirk Cousins. That's what athletes do. When I hear that, I change my tune. Why does anybody in a basketball game wave in a sub? Coach, come get me. Why does a baseball player with arm problems wave his pitching coach, right? At some point you realize I'm going to hurt my team, maybe hurt myself. But I mean, you know, he didn't have any problem that their season was going up in flames. Like, he had no problem with it. What about the other guys in that locker room that he's admitting? Because when you said to me it's a bad day in Flowery Branch, what I'm saying is a bad day because now a bunch of guys know this son of a gun was valuing not getting Wally pipped more than us going to the playoffs. And by the way,
I don't know that you can find a player that won't say that, Steak. You just said to me about Chris Sale, these are grown men that want to play and they're athletes and they're not going to.
But he's healthy. Chris Sale should play when he's healthy.
But if in fact, well, any NFL, I'd like to see an NFL player by game week 10 that's not that 100%.
Dude,
it doesn't exist. I feel like it's somebody that has a clearer head that. Kirk's still going to get paid. Bench him.
They had no idea he was that hurt. He just said on this and that thing.
We watched that Charger game from the stands, and I could have told you he should not have been on the field at four interceptions.
He should have taken himself out of the Saints game when he had no elbow and he had no shoulder. And by the way, be confident enough that you can get your job back in week 11. All right? And by the way, when you get your job back, not week 11, I'm sorry, like week 14. Because when you get your job back, you're going to be a playoff team. Because you were smart enough to say, I can't win with no elbow and no shoulder. Because if I come back, and by the way, Michael Penix would have looked like what he looked like, which is he probably would have had four touchdowns and four picks, and maybe they would have won a couple of games. But the odds are he's not going to get Tom Brady, and Penix is going to go on this incredible run and never get your job back. You got to think, I'll get my job back when I'm healthy in 4 weeks, and then I'll be a playoff team. As opposed to, I'll get benched 5 games later, and we're out of the playoffs. So I have a bigger problem now that I heard this than I did before. Let's find out what our listeners think. 404-726-0929. Are you heard it? Guy said he had no shoulder. He had no elbow. I like, okay. And you're trying to win. You're trying to get a game-winning drive? And you're trying to be a playoff team? I don't know what Arthur Blank thinks when he watched this. I'm sure he watched it. What does Raheem Morris think? And you're not wrong, Sandra, in saying, what does he think? Now you're watching your quarterback say, I really couldn't play, and you're sitting there, Raheem Morris, and you didn't do nothing about it. And by the time you did something about it, the losing streak had already started. 404-726-0929. 92.9. Steak and Sandra Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, it's Steak and Sandra. Thanks for being with us on a Tuesday morning, number one sports talk radio station. Follow us on Instagram at Steak Shapiro. Are you at Sports Sandra on Insta as well?
Yes, sir.
Or definitely on Twitter. I put up a Twitter poll. We got about 300 folks have already chimed in. Have you consumed that yet?
I didn't see it.
Try to follow my content a little bit.
Sorry.
If you don't mind, and refer to me as chef, please. So Kirk Cousins admits in the Netflix show he had zero intention of giving up his starting position, regardless of injury, because he feared he may never get it back. How do you feel about that? Totally get it, or bad teammate? Totally get it, or bad teammate? Where do you think the poll is right now?
I'm looking at it, so I don't want to say.
So that's about as down the middle as you can get. 51% say totally get it. 48% say bad teammate. And I think I'm changing my opinion from what you've heard over the last few months. When I said, listen, the guy had a good point saying that he has won games before when he's been injured and thought he could work his way through it. And I think I want to play that second cut again and then take the calls, Bo. This is episode 4 of QB1 as they lose to an absolutely horrendous New Orleans Saints team. One of the worst Saints teams that we've ever seen. I don't even know who was playing quarterback that day. I don't think it was Derek Carr. Did you have the...
It is Derek Carr. It was Derek.
Oh, it was him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not very good. Here he is admitting that he's cooked.
My shoulder started to really throb. So I knew right away, like, okay, this is a little more serious. Once I lost my shoulder and my elbow, I didn't have many more places to lean on to get the power I needed.
The clock is running. They got to be thinking touchdown here. Cousins, tight window, picked off. Tyrann Mathieu. And the ball game is over.
I lost my shoulder and my elbow. I'm really trying to think, and I'm trying to think about Tom Brady or Joe Burrow or Pat Mahomes or anybody else. They all want to gut it out. But you're being a bad teammate when you don't let somebody go in there and try to win the game.
Okay, I'm going to bring up Anthony Richardson last season for the Colts, who took himself out, said it was hurt or whatever
it was. He was tired, Sam.
I don't remember exactly. Well, okay. But you got to also – I just feel like – somebody's got to have clearer heads than your starting quarterback, who has said now on the record, there is no circumstance where I want the backup to see the field.
Let me just say, I'm not trying to be rude. Anthony Richardson was tired. So just to be clear, that's why he got lambasted.
But I guess my point being of when you see some, and Julio took it for even tapping out, right? Or for whatever reason.
I'm tired. He was
so
on the field.
There's two different
Sandra,
reasons.
There's no way that Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson in the middle of a game against New Orleans have any – there's no MRI, there's no test. They don't know that he lost his elbow and his shoulder. And if he literally can't get him down the field and you're about to lose, have enough confidence. You've already been, like you said, NFC Player of the Week twice. Mm-hmm. You're 6-3. Give up the reins for 3-4 weeks. Maybe you don't get it back, 10% chance. But don't cost your team the playoffs. X in Atlanta – you're in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Steak, listen to the show all the time. First time call. I had to call in because of this subject. But, Steak, you're wrong. Sanders right. Steak, I can't tell you how many times, unless my leg is coming off the bone to where a coach has looked at me and said, hey, are you good? I've looked at that coach, and I don't even know what day it is. And I've said, I'm good, coach. It's that coach's job to take the player out. I'm not coming out of the game regardless, State, no matter what. I don't want to be in the trainer's room, and I don't want to come out the field.
Well, then maybe but winning isn't that important to you because you're not being a good teammate because you're not going to win at 30%. I'm not talking about 80. This guy said to my
–
yeah, go ahead.
State, you mentioned teammates. There's not a guy on the field that's going to come off that field and admit to being hurt. I'm trying to tell, unless you've been there, you're not going to admit that you are hurt, period.
So why have I watched NBA games and guys wave That you got to get me out. Or why have I watched starting pitchers tell their pitching coach to say something feels weird? I tweaked something. You can't say that's never happened.
I'm not saying it's never happened. I'm just saying on that field, that football field, between those lines, no player is going to say, come get me. Unless he cannot walk, unless he cannot basically see his eyes come out of his pocket, you're not going to do that.
I agreed with you almost until I heard those cuts, but I appreciate the call. Jake and Buckhead, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, Jake?
Good. Hey, guys. Yeah, so I think Kirk Cousins – getting paid $100 million, I think it was guaranteed. It's like you got to come out of the game if you know you can't help your team win. Definitely being a bad teammate, but that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, buddy. Coleman in Duluth, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, Coleman.
Hey, both of you have great points, but if I'm judging a debate, I gotta side with Sandra on this, and it's simply because those coaches know what we don't know. They have that inside, and they know he's hurt. And I'm, for that matter, I also agree with her that after about two games, you know you're not getting the results from Kirk Cousins, and yet they stuck with him for too long. And you know, hey, we all know if we go 7-10, 8-9 next year, Ra and his staff are probably out. If they make the playoffs, he probably keeps his job. But it's things like this and clock management, where ownership and fans look back. It's not just wins and losses. It's things like this where you look at it and you say, maybe this isn't the guy. And if we get to that point next season, we're not in the playoffs. I think these are points against him. You know,
it's I think it's embarrassing. I do agree with Sandra. It's embarrassing for Raheem to watch this. But I think there is a distinction between the Saints game, where he literally says, my elbow and shoulder were completely done, because you don't know what's a stinger and what's not if you're Raheem and Zach in that game. Now, when Sandra says, I went to the San Diego, the Charger game,
no, but
the, LA.
But let me just tell you. So
game, it should have been done, guys.
100%. So before that, it was Denver, where you were lost 38-6, and it was awful.
Yep.
The Chargers is the game we're talking about.
And then it was
Minnesota. Then at Minnesota.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you and I were at the Chargers game. You said it on Monday morning when you came in here, or Tuesday. You said, I don't know what I just watched, but like when you're throwing, like literally the expression ducks, his last pick, you think Marcus Mariota's hand grenade throw in Philly was bad? Look at those picks in the Charger game. And I wonder, like, I really do wonder how the whole organization, Arthur Blank looks at Raheem, how Arthur Blank looks at Kirk when he watches it, how Raheem and Zach Robinson, are they going to do some self-reflection?
And not only that, Stake, so you're starting to hear, which we hadn't heard this, that he was not thrilled they got a quarterback. So not that they got a quarterback, they got him so high. So much so that he gets a call from Zach Robinson during the 10-minute while the Falcons are on the clock and says, here's what's about to go down. So already that's in his head. I think I got duped. I should have signed with Minnesota. This is coming out this morning. So now fast forward that stake. The job inside that building is to know the psyche of your starting quarterback who just got hit. You saw it. He told you, and I believe he was talking to his quarterback's coach, DJ Williams, at that point, who said, no, I'm good. And in the same sentence, he finishes with, I knew I had nothing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's saying I had nothing after the season. Yeah. You know, he never told anybody. He told his coaches, I'm fine in that game. I think there's a difference between that game. I don't disagree with you that if you watch the Charger game and send him back out there in Minnesota, right? But in Minnesota, he threw for over 300 yards. I know that's...
It was a loss. 42-20.
You were tied...
Like, y'all, that
you
was
were
the
tied
first
20,
of four. Oh, my
you were
God.
Tied 20-20 in the
this
fourth quarter.
This is a bad, bad morning for the Atlanta morning. Falcons. This is a bad morning, y'all.
Why do you have to be like that?
It's upsetting. It's like,
let's get more calls because
I'm even more irritated.
People,
he's even on the show.
Who's on
the Kirk shouldn't have been on the show.
I know.
He
I
was on last year.
Why did
By
he
the way,
have
Michael
to do
Penix
it?
Would have been a great quarterback story. Well, no. Your backup quarterback that gets drafted that high. I want to see behind the scenes. Okay. What are you doing?
The show's not about
Jameis Winston behind the scenes.
Sandra, the show's not about backups. The show's about starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Why do you want to if a guy never's gonna see the field? I mean, come on. It's about starters in the NFL.
There's no such thing as a bad story. Well, there's a bad storyteller. You can learn that in
then
journalism school.
Then have a show called Backup and make it about three backups.
No, you're missing the point. If you can't get one of, I'll say, 32 teams and their backup to do a show and you're repeating Kirk Cousins, then something's wrong.
Why did he have to do any show?
By the way, you got three white guys. Really?
Well,
really?
Now we're going to bring that into it?
Well, I was thinking that. Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins.
Jaden Daniels would have been the best
one
ever.
Holy smokes, right?
Jaden Daniels would have been insane.
Jameis Winston.
He's a backup. You're not doing backups.
It doesn't matter. Personalities
Sandra,
are making shows.
What do you mean? This is 17 games. Why do I want to watch a backup?
If I couldn't have got another starting quarterback, I would have gone to a backup to be a better story than somebody I've already had. You've had one season of the show.
But you're
this is dumb. Now I'm super irritated that they didn't do the right thing at Flowery Branch. That they screwed up.
All right. I mean, first it was Macon's awesome. Then it was bring Gunnar Stockton to media days. I mean, you just get irritated about amazing.
Could you please get more callers that said I was right and just lead with us? Because I don't know what over here
404
Stakey has to hear.
726.
We're talking sports. I don't know what he's doing.
404-726-0929.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Got hit in the second quarter, took a helmet kind of right into my shoulder rib cage area, and immediately my elbow lit up and I knew, you know, I had irritated something. Had a shooting pain kind of right through my inside of my elbow.
My elbow got absolutely rocked by a helmet. I'm all right. Hey, I bruised my elbow pretty good, so it was going to help me to just keep it loose throwing.
Gotcha.
So we'll just play catch every now and then.
I'm right here with you.
The Netflix show drops, and Kirk Cousins is the headliner at ESPN, admitting he was not happy with the Falcons signing Michael Penix that early, admitting that he really got hurt in that New Orleans game, that was the you know, that was kind of conjecture out there, watching the demise of his season after that game and in that game in particular. And then, more episode 5 where the thing really starts to unravel. And I agree with part of what Sandra said, in that it's not a good day at Flowery Branch. We'll take your phone calls at 404-726-0929. They really effed this thing up. They really effed it up. And in professional sports, you have to get in the tournament, okay? You have to get in the tournament. The Indiana Pacers found their way into the tournament. There are other teams, lower seeds. A few years ago, right, the Texas Rangers found their way into the tournament. Oh, yeah, the Atlanta Braves found their way into the tournament, the postseason tournament. They weren't even, like, close to the best team in baseball, and they won a World Series. One of the dumbest things Orlando Ledbetter ever wrote, D-Led, is when he said, it's better the Falcons didn't make it to the tournament because they would have been blown out in any game they played. That is one of the most ignorant things that you could ever say because, by the way, the team that almost went to the Super Bowl, you're familiar with the Washington Commanders? That team almost went to the Super Bowl. They went and beat the Lions team in Detroit, whooped them, right?
Yep.
And they damn near were given the Eagles a game, right? And a lot of folks thought they had a chance. And By the way, you could say the same thing about Matthew Stafford and the Rams, who had a chance to beat Detroit because they got in. Not a great team. The Falcons would have had a home game in the tournament if they had made the playoffs, right? Would have won the division. And then they may have gone on a run with Michael Penix. How do I know? I don't know. They played the Commanders, one of the best teams in the NFL last year. They played them on Sunday night. They went to overtime, and they had a damn good chance to win that football game. So when you're 6-3 and you have the squad that they had, you should have been in the playoffs. And Brahim, by the way, did do a good job fixing the defense and getting us to sack the quarterback, so you would have gone into the tournament with that. So they effed it up. Now, do I think Kirk Cousins is to blame for the Saints game? Absolutely. I don't let him off the hook in that game. Sandra's saying it's really on the coaching staff more than anything, right? That you understand that the mind of a professional athlete is that they don't want to come out of a game or in any scenario.
Yeah, because I have eyes. And I think also both things can be true. Kirk, he wasn't pulling himself out, but I think stronger heads have to prevail. Do you think Mike Tomlin's watching that? And letting his starting quarterback do that. And all I do is I look at the numbers. So from that New Orleans game on, you guys, you were 2-6.
Well,
it was over.
Well,
it's over.
Sandra, it was
2-6.
It was 9 interceptions and 0 touchdowns in a 4-game stretch. I've never even heard of numbers like that. 9 picks, 0 touchdowns, 0-4. And by the way, that did not get him benched because he played against the Raiders. That didn't get him benched until the Raiders game when his arm was going to fall off. 404-726-0929. Josh in Suwannee, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course,
Sandra, I think you're absolutely right. You are a professional athletic association of any sport. You need to have quality assurance around every single corner of your organization. What you just said was absolutely right. Do you really think that Pittsburgh Steelers or another elite franchise would have allowed Kirk Cousins to kamikaze of their season? They should have known this was in the back of his head. After they had to sit down and tell him, hey, we're taking a first-round quarterback this early, they should have known he might pull something like this. I'm sorry, but this is on the Falcons. Hey. The elite organizations would not allow someone like Kirk Cousins, the kamikaze of the season.
I like the term kamikaze of the season because that's what happened. And I also think if Arthur Blank, you know, everybody has a boss. You're a sales guy out there, you have a sales manager. If you're a sales manager, you have a GM. If you run a deli, you have an owner, like whatever. Arthur Blank should look at Raheem Morris because he's his boss, or Terry Fontenot, and say, I want you guys to come in here. Because my team's a $4 billion entity, and I put a lot into this, and I'm in my 80s. And I'd like to know why you didn't manage this situation better. Then, just like I want to know why you started Desmond Ridder the year before, which cost Arthur Smith his job. Like, you have a boss. And I would think
I also wonder, you guys, a Drake London, who is that guy? He's the alpha male in the room. He doesn't know what's going on with that. And by the way, now your defense is on the field. Jesse Bates didn't be like, dude, y'all, his arm. Is anybody seeing this? Because you can imagine what was said, whether whispers or not. I just can't figure it out. I knew it was going to be bad once this show came out. We talked about it at stake once they announced. And I go, oh.
Yeah. No, we knew this. We said this is going to be the story of QB1 is what happened.
And now, not only that. You are 15 days away from training camp. You don't think this is going to be brought up?
Well, he's done the one interview. He'll probably do one more, Kirk Cousins.
It's not even about him anymore, Steak. It's not about him anymore. Hey, Drake, did you know something? I'm sure you watched quarterback. Did you notice anything with arm? Raheem, after watching it, what do you think?
Do you think he'll admit he watched it?
I think you should always just tell the truth.
Right,
so.
Right. I think that'll be
this trickle-down effect of this, I mean, the more I'm thinking about it.
I mean, think about training camp. They go, hey, you saw QB1, coach. Do you think you guys handled that right, knowing how injured he was? Let him answer it. And now, guess what? The guy you got to talk about and throw under the bus is right in the next room. That's your backup quarterback. That's the guy you didn't want to trade, and now he's right next to you every day. And this show's out there, which is another reason why maybe you shouldn't have done the show. Xavier and Ellenwood, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Stake, I agree with you 100%. As an athlete, I've been an athlete on many levels. That's Kirk Cousins' body. Nobody knows how hurt he is but Kirk. Yeah, the coaches, to Sandra's point, yeah, they could pull him. But they don't know how hurt Kirk Cousins is. It's selfish for him to stay in the ball game when he knows he's not able to perform. Period.
Yeah, he lost that game. He lost that game.
And the next one. I know. And the next one.
Okay.
And the bye week came, and you weren't any better, and you lost another one.
But he literally.
The Chargers game was after the bye week stake, and that was the 4 interception. This is inexcusable.
But he threw for 300 yards against Minnesota, so maybe he thought he could find a way. I just heard him say about New Orleans, I had no elbow and no shoulder, and they're trying to score one field goal.
Right, like, right.
Take yourself out of the game there and just tell them, and then lie to them about next week. Just be like, I needed a week off, but that was a bad stinger. I don't know, man. He not a good teammate in that game. So, and thank you for saying that some athletes do actually take themselves out of a game if it's going to cost you the game, right? Jeez, if one more person just sucks up to Sandra, my God, I get it.
We have any discussion. Hey, big game of the night. Thanks so much to John Foy. It's going to be our Atlanta Braves at the A's. That game's in Sacramento. 10:05 first pitch, Didier Fuentes. And Wise Guys Pro Wash brings us the 10 o'clock hours because they are awesome. They need a nice, like, power washing at that Flowery Branch. Get rid of all the demons out there. Wash it off. They can scrub it clean, folks.
I mean, normally we go to break and we talk about, like, Broadway shows that might be coming in. Or you tell me, like, I'm having an early supper tonight with my girlfriends. I mean, you literally were talking sports in the break.
Well, I got folks. I got NFL folks texting me. I got stuff going on over here.
Wow. You're living your best life. Do you want to play three strikes for, like, 3 minutes?
I don't know. Okay. Go ahead.
Our three strikes questions. Are you mad at Kirk Cousins? Are you mad at Kirk Cousins?
Mad at your mom?
A really smart woman. Because apparently she's winning on that front today. A really smart woman. What did we talk about earlier? I said maybe a good, you're not going to remember.
Movie quotes.
Oh, yeah. The most quoted movie amongst you and your friends. Thank you. Boy, that, your memory is better than we thought.
It's true.
The most quoted movie by you and your friends. 404-726-0929. We have 2 minutes here. I'd love you to get a call. We'll let Wendy play three strikes if she can handle it. 404-726-0929. Did we mention that you used to mention
I gave John Foy all the love, yes.
You mentioned in Pro Wash.
Yeah, right? Told him they're going to clean Flowery Branch. I think Wesley just, should go over there, spray the whole place down.
I was trying not to listen because you've been... Tell me if we get Wendy up there, Bo. Wendy, how you doing? Wendy, I think she got scared because
Wendy, don't be scared.
She wanted to talk about.
He's all talk. He's a big teddy bear.
Well, no, she calls all the time.
Oh,
but
good. Okay.
I think she didn't know I was going to go to three strikes. Mm. Are you mad at Kirk Cousins, a really smart woman, and the most quoted movie by you and your friends? It's not the same Xavier, is it? Hey, Xavier, are you mad at Kirk Cousins?
Hello.
Are you mad at Kirk Cousins?
Man, am I? Hell yeah, I'm mad at Kirk Cousins. And let me tell you this. The reason why people in Atlanta can't drive, the callers are proving it. Nobody has good hindsight.
A really smart woman. Xavier, a really smart woman.
Yo. A really smart woman. Oprah Winfrey.
The most quoted movie by you and your friends.
The most quoted movie?
By you.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. Find that fish or find new jobs.
Good job. By the way, he wasn't ready for three strikes. He did it on the fly. Rich and Alpharetta, are you mad at Kirk Cousins?
I'm pissed off.
Who's a really smart woman?
God rest her soul. My aunt passed away.
Aww.
The most quoted movie by you and your friends?
Well, it's my favorite movie, Heat, and he said, I'm not lonely. I'm not alone. Well, I'm not some quote like that. I'm not lonely, but I'm alone. Something like that.
You're talking about De Niro and Pacino scene?
Yep.
One of the most famous scenes in film history at that diner. Al Pacino and Robert De Niro.
You know what he says?
Not exactly, no. Don't put me on the spot like that. Is Rusty working tomorrow? Who's tomorrow?
I'm here with you all week because I'm in 4 days. So get comfortable, folks.
You're here for 4 days?
Yeah, I want to be here with John Gordon on Friday. I'm so excited. Jeez. And then we got SEC Media Days next week. I mean, we are going.
Thank you, Bo. Thank you, callers. We're back tomorrow. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.